Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined by Ray Pritchard, keeper of founding ministries, founder of Keep Something. Believing Ministries. Sorry about that, Ray. Hey, while I've stepped in it here, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners about Keep Believing Ministries and let them know how they can find out information about your website and what you do.
Thanks, Ed. It's easy to find us on the internet. Just remember the name Keep Believing, put a .com after it. Come see us at keepbelieving.com. We've got an online resource library of hundreds and hundreds of Bible study sermons, videos, FAQs, podcasts, and all the rest designed to help people get to know the Lord and understand the Word of God better. And it's because it's the internet, we're available 24/7, 365. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and check us out.
And folks, just in case you are not real familiar with American Family Association, American Family Radio, or maybe you've heard that all we're interested in is politics, that is not true. We realize that our nation is sick at heart. The gospel is what people need. The Word of God is what people need. And so that's why we are working with Revival Fires International this week. It is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. We're asking you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teens. Now, we want to give away 60,000 free Bibles into the hands of teenagers this week. One free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise to pass it along to a friend in school. That's right. One free Truth for Youth Bible will be given away to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promise to pass it along to a friend in school. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and 100 pages or so of full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. A lot of teenagers start reading those comics. They're fascinating. They get a biblical message. And then they keep going and read in the New Testament. And a lot of young people, more than 25,000 young people over the last 15 years, have received Christ. The Truth for Youth Bible is also available in Spanish. Before I give you the information on how to get in on this opportunity, I want to hear another testimony of how this Bible has impacted a young person.
There's this girl in my school that always tried to talk to me about Jesus, but I would never really listen to her because she wasn't very cool and she didn't like to party or anything. But one day she came up to me and said that Tim Todd was challenging young people to give away Truth for Youth Bibles in school. So she ordered me one, gave it to me, and now I just want to thank you so much because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord. I just went to the decision page, read the instructions, and gave my heart to Jesus, and my life is changed forever. And hey, if you want to send me some Truth for Youth Bibles, I can give them to other young people so that they can be saved too.
Well, that kind of thing is awesome. Folks, here's how you participate this week. You're going to be hearing it wall to wall this week because we believe the gospel and the Word of God is so needed. As Fred mentioned in the last segment, especially our young people, they are in neck deep in darkness in many of our schools, and they desperately need the light of the gospel. You can go to AFR.net. There's a banner there that you will click on, or you can call this number, 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. Two ways to order the free Bible for your young person and then have them give it to someone at school. All right. We kept Fred Jackson over for just one story. Steve Jordahl is now in studio with us. He's a reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning, / good afternoon, Steve.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Hey there, everybody.
All right, why'd we keep Fred over for
well,
a
you,
story?
Folks, you guys are going to be hearing in the next day or two, I almost guarantee that you're going to be hearing from all the mainstream media news outlets that the racist president that we have has once again struck at immigrants and he's doing awful things. The president, the administration today announced that they are going to start enforcing a part of immigration law which says that they do not want immigrants in this country who are drawing on the federal government for, like, on welfare and taking – they need to be contributors, not takers. I have here Ken Cuccinelli, who's with the administration. He's in with their immigration team, and he's announcing. Now, I want you to listen. First, you'll say what the law does. Then he's going to give a long list of types of immigrants that this law does not apply to. So have a listen.
It's important to note this rule will apply prospectively only to applications and petitions received starting on October 15th of this year. Once this rule is implemented and effective on October 15th, USCIS Career Immigration Services officers, what we call ISOs, will generally consider an alien's current and past receipt of the designated public benefits while in the United States as a negative factor when examining applications. However, receipt of certain non-cash benefits received before October 15th will not be considered as a negative factor. The rule does not consider many forms of government assistance that protect children and pregnant women's health as public benefits. Generally, this includes emergency medical assistance, disaster relief, national school lunch programs, WIC, CHIP, Medicaid received by people under the age of 21 or pregnant women, as well as foster care and adoption subsidies, student and mortgage loans, energy assistance, food pantries, homeless shelters, and Head Start.
So there's a list of the who it applies to and who it doesn't. We asked I asked Fred to stay because after considering sneaking into the country on a hang glider with a bunch of Canadian geese, Fred actually decided to come in legally.
Yes.
And Fred, you had to kind of sign this whole thing. This isn't a new law. This is just kind of harkening back to what's been for a while, right?
Oh, it's been in place for many years. When I applied for the green card to come to the U.S. 23 years ago, part of that application was that my father-in-law, living here in the United States, had to sign a document that said I would never be a burden on the state. In other words, if I became unemployed, that he was guaranteeing that he would take care of me and my family so that I would not have to go and have taxpayer-funded programs like food stamps and housing vouchers and Medicaid and that sort of thing. And you know, I didn't mind. I completely understood that. A person coming into this country should not have the intention, hey, I want to come to the United States so I can live off of everybody else. That's not right.
Right.
And President Trump is moving in the direction more and more, although as you just heard, there are plenty of exceptions, but he's moving in the direction of merit-based immigration. In other words, you come here to contribute to the cause.
Right.
Not to take away and be a burden to the state. And the United States is not the only one doing that. Country that I moved from, Canada, has that same kind of system in place. Merit-based. People coming to the country, what can you do for us?
Right.
And because we think what you're bringing to us is valuable, then we're going to let you come in. We're going to give you a green card that allows you to work in this country.
Yeah, because it takes, I mean, the process of like going to Canada, for example, legally can take 7 or 8 years or something. I mean, it's the process that by which other countries let people come in is sometimes just as complex and time-consuming as what the United States does.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not open borders people like those on the left who say, well, y'all come. That's the way Tim always puts it.
Yeah.
Y'all come, mm-hmm. and we'll take care of you. Well, you know what? The money will run out at some point.
Yes.
And then people paying the taxes want to make sure that the people that they know, mm-hmm. are taken care of instead of people from other countries. Anyway, so it's probably to Steve's point, we will hear in the days. I'm not sure what he meant by I can almost guarantee you that you'll hear this. I'm not sure what that exactly means, almost guarantee it. But
it's because I'm a reporter and I report facts, and there's not been a fact yet of somebody yes. calling the president racist that I've seen. But,
yeah.
But
it's coming.
I'm pretty sure.
All right, Fred, thank you so much for being on the program with us and giving us your personal experience about that. All right, Steve, what else we got? All right, we're waiting for Steve to plug in. He's shifting, moving over chairs. Yeah, at least you're not pulling something like Tim does. So sometimes he'll, during just as the break is coming up, he'll pull his plugs and start walking while he's talking in his microphone. It's easy to do. You forget you're unplugged.
I'm having mercy on Brent and our viewers on Facebook and YouTube by hanging out in the captain's chair here. So, yeah, if you by the way, haven't tried to tune in yet, go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch us good-looking guys on the radio.
If you say so. I mean, they can watch. I'm not sure that good-looking guys is the right description.
Hey, you've been hearing about the flooding. Massive flooding is going on in Miami and New York City and all these other coastal places, right? I think they're under feet of waters because, well, Al Gore says that all his predictions from 2006 came true. On climate change.
This is Inconvenient Truth.
The Inconvenient Truth
book and the documentary.
Yes. Right. Listen to what Al Gore said.
Why should the United States bear the brunt of this?
A word like brunt implies that it's a painful and costly transition.
Right.
When in fact, this is the best way to create millions of new jobs. It's not as if we are taking on this huge burden. We're doing things that are benefiting us in other ways anyway.
You said back in 2006 that the world would reach the point of no return if drastic measures weren't taken to reduce greenhouse gases by 2016.
Mm.
So here we are. Is it already too late?
Well, some changes, unfortunately, have already been locked in place. Sea level increases are going to continue no matter what we do now. The heat wave was in Europe. Now it's in the Arctic, and we're seeing huge melting of the ice there. So the warnings of the scientists 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, unfortunately, were accurate.
Yeah. So, Ray, are you getting ready to have some beachfront property there in Kansas City?
You know, that's the longest I've heard Al Gore speak in about 20 years.
I know. You know? He's got that droll where
he does.
Going to put everything into a lockbox.
So he was basically saying he's been vindicated on every prediction he ever made.
Pretty much. That was, by the way, ABC's Jonathan Carl that was asking the questions. And, he said that all those predictions that they have, and I recall saying that half of Florida was going to be underwater. They had disaster maps about all these coastal cities. And maybe they're just the mainstream media hasn't decided that it's important enough to report on yet, but I haven't seen it.
Now, it's not true about the Arctic, is it? I mean, doesn't the ice go back and forth in terms of expansion and contraction?
I think it does. And what I've been hearing, and I probably should have gotten some data on this, I didn't before I came in, but the Arctic is getting warmer, but the Antarctic is freezing up. And so I think...
Whoa.
Okay. Yes, that's right. It's getting cold down there.
Ray, did you want to add something? This seemed to strike you personally that the Antarctica was...
Well, first of all, there's beachfront property here in Kansas City. Who knew? I'm looking out and I can see the ocean from my backyard
now.
There
you go. You and Sarah Palin.
That's a low blow there,
Me
man.
And Sarah, right? I'm good with this.
You know, the other thing I loved about what he said was, what do you mean? It's going to cost? No, this is going to be the biggest moneymaker ever.
That might have been the most outrageous lie he told.
Yeah, just play that first part again.
Well, you can't, but you can cut
it
off.
Why should the United States bear the brunt of this?
A word like brunt implies that it's a painful and costly transition.
Right.
It's not going to be painful and costly to spend $60 trillion on the Green New Deal.
You know, if he was actually relevant, I would try to work on my imitation of Al Gore.
Yeah.
Because he's got a pretty distinctive voice, but he's not really relevant. Not much. Is he coming out with a new documentary? Why is he back in the news?
Why is he talking?
Well, he's talking because ABC decided they needed to have a voice on global warming.
It's Al Gore.
The beaches are approaching Kansas City.
It wasn't enough for him to invent the internet?
I mean, no. Or be the subject of the Love Story movie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I forgot about that. That's right.
Where do I begin? Oh, man. It's karaoke week. It's not only National Truth for Youth Bible Week. It's karaoke week, starring Steve Jordahl.
Yeah.
All right. And you have a good voice, so... I don't do karaoke, but that's because I can't sing.
All right.
What else you got?
We call it.
It's always so easy to make fun of Al Gore.
When you sing, we call it Harry Karaoke.
Harry Carey.
Yeah, got it.
I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Good. I like that.
Okay.
Al Sharpton is having a bit of a bad week. Al Sharpton was in Baltimore this week, and you're going to hear him talking.
This was last week, right?
You're going to hear it because it's Monday. You're going to hear him talking a little bit about how bad everybody's treating Baltimore and how he's there to help, right? Just listen to the reception he gets. This is Cut 9.
Cummings is a respected and well-regarded member of Congress.
You go back to New York, you ain't getting up in Baltimore. You a phony.
Our schools are failing us. Where are you when our schools are failing? You're just a hustler out of town and go back where you came from.
Why don't you go back where you came from?
I live here, and I was born here, sir.
You're nothing but a phony.
I saw that. That was Al Sharpton was on the street doing a little, press.
Street preaching, I think, as it were. Yeah,
they don't love him
a little
too
press
much
conference.
In Baltimore.
And so people had gathered, and this guy, look, he was older. He called him on it. Said, What have you done? Our schools are failing. And, I've seen some pretty amazing videos of people going interviewing people in Baltimore, and they're going, listen, you know, President Trump is right about how he's described what's going on down here. We need some help. And Al Sharpton just wasn't getting any of that done.
None of it.
All right. Listen, anytime you can bring audio of one of these hustlers going down to some of these big cities, I want to give it a listen.
So all right.
Anytime you can do that.
Well, I've brought you Al Gore and Al Sharpton.
Hey, it's a good Monday.
You can call me Al.
Yes. Yeah, or what else we got?
All right. Modesto, California. The city has denied a request by a group to hold a straight pride rally. Modesto city officials on Friday denied the application by the National Straight Pride Coalition, called the NSPRC for short.
Okay.
Yeah, they were going to have it at Grosita Park on August 24th. And they thought about 500 people would attend this straight pride rally, but they're not going to be able to do it. Not going to have it.
All right. Now, I'm going to say, Ray, now you tell me if I'm – because I'm done ranting for the day.
All right.
Well, at least for this show. I may rant about something later on, but for this show, I'm done ranting. But I'm just going to say this. First of all, I'm not sure how wise it is to have a straight pride –
Agreed.
Or an event – because all you're going to subject yourself to is incredible abuse, maybe violence. What's the point? But second of all, I don't think Modesto is going to get away with this. You can't just say we don't like what you're rallying for, therefore permit denied. I think that if they want to go to a judge with an attorney, I think Modesto is going to have to cave on this. But, Ray, I'm just going, why do it?
You know, first of all, I think Modesto, I think what they're going to say is, well, they didn't meet the deadlines or the filing, or they didn't put, there's always bureaucratic reasons you can just throw out there and say they didn't meet it. But I agree with you. There are a lot of things worth demonstrating about. I think you're just asking for trouble here. So,
let me just say this one out. Yes, exactly.
I'm
not bringing the wife and the kids down there with a picnic basket. And listen. Here's the problem for the gay activists, homosexual activists, and the gay community, the homosexual community, LGBTQ, RST, plus, okay?
Don't forget the plus.
Here's the
plus.
Problem.
Or the divided by. I think there's a division signal in there now.
You're missing the point here, Steve.
Radical.
The old dividing symbol.
Good. That's good.
I like it. That's actually very good because that's what they do. They divide. All right. So here's the problem for them. is they are never going to be above 2.1% of the population. It's closer to 3% if you throw in the bisexuals, okay?
Oh,
but 2.1, almost every survey around the world, about 2.1%, somewhere in there. So very small. You're never changing that. So the reason why people aren't going to a gay pride event, I mean a straight pride event at the park, is because they're the vast majority,
right?
And they got no reason to trumpet that. And so it's always this tiny minority that always has something to prove. Hey, we're here. We're queer. Get used to it. Okay, yeah. That's why they have to make that noise. But they're always going to be that small sliver, except maybe on network television. Then they're 25% of the characters or whatever it is. So I think Modesto's, this is a loser for them, the city. They should just let them go ahead and do it because you're not going to get
15
people are going to show up and say, "Hey, we're straight. Applaud us." No one's going to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All right. What else we got?
The more things change, the more things come stay the same, I think. I'd like to introduce y'all to the newest medical technology. This is amazing stuff. So, you know, we went from the Middle Ages and bloodletting and all that kind of stuff, and then we discovered penicillin along the way.
Well,
and then,
not in my lifetime, but yes, and then, humanity. Yeah.
And then x-rays and then all this stuff, and we're doing now, like, targeting cancer cells with stem cells and,
yeah.
And oh, it's amazing. So you know what the latest thing is? Leeches.
I saw that. I didn't
back
through on this.
To leeches.
Leeches are back?
This
leeches
is on Drudge Report.
Back.
I almost clicked on this.
No
how
way.
The leeches no. became the latest health trend.
Yeah.
All right. So what do they do? I mean, besides
they
suck
just
your blood.
Suck your
they
blood.
Suck your
well,
blood.
It
suck your blood.
It seems
blah, 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 blah.
It seems fairly new agey to me. But the latest leech craze. I'm trying to find the.
For real.
Yes, today using leeches for medical treatment. This is from The Week, which, by the way, is a great little periodical. I love The Week. Today using leeches for medical treatment is called hirudotherapy. Many of its professional practitioners, called hirudotherapists, promote leech therapy to treat a long list of medical conditions from asthma to infertility. Though places like the Academy and Hirudotherapia in Las Vegas, which charges $10,000 for its full course, almost anyone can become a certified hirudotherapist.
Well, they're going to have to change the name if they want this to take off.
Somebody call Al Gore. Let's get him on this
right
now.
I'm sure he invented it.
Right now.
He invented it.
Some specialize in beauty treatment and offer leech facials. That's got to be fun.
This is goofy.
I'm telling you. In which
leech therapy.
Leech therapy.
This is a terrible.
Demi Moore has had it, among others.
Well, okay.
Yeah, because I'm going to do something because someone
didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
So we're back to leeches. You know that, like I say, pretty soon guest genes are going to be back in.
That's right,
you know,
they're coming back.
Wag
ties are coming
back. And leeches.
I don't think. Listen. This is, like you said, this is a new agey thing. Listen, I would give acupuncture a little bit. I put it higher up on the ladder of things you do, therapies you do that might be helpful. I think there's actually maybe some growing scientific. But the leeches, what could go wrong?
Well, what could go right?
That's right.
You're taking blood sucking. What are
parasites.
They?
Parasites.
Are they parasites?
Where do you even get leeches anyway?
They're not amphibians.
They're what are they? Slugs?
Whatever a frog is.
Amphibian?
I think they're amphibians.
All right.
So you're going to put, listen, folks, go for it.
That's
if
right.
you want a good to try
and
leech
let
therapy.
Let us know. Let us know how
that went. All right, folks, don't forget it is National Truth for Youth Bible Week this week. Keep listening to American Family Radio all day, all week. We're going to tell you how you can participate in this. Let's get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teenagers. More great programming directly ahead. Bye for now.